morning. And happy Pentecost. You don't go tell me happy Pentecost? There we go. It's the church's birthday, right? It's White Sunday, too. That's why I'm wearing white. I've not got a desire to be the good humor man or the anti-Steve. Or a barbershop. Or a barber. All right. We begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you for boundless mercy, and for the sake of
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. O Lord, how manifold are your works, in wisdom have you made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee. We give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that taketh away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. All right, if you got your bifocals on, we'll do the readings. Right, the Old Testament reading for this morning is Ezekiel 37, 1-14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, in these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling of the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will
pour out my spirit
on all flesh. With the heart one believes and is justified. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of this is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's been pretty windy lately, and I was thinking about this reading from Acts, the description of the things that took place, and that there was a loud sound as if it were the wind rushing. So one night I went outside when it wasn't raining and the wind was blowing, so I said, I'm going to get some of this sound to bring to you. So I've got it in this jar. So, all right, everybody be quiet. Listen. Did you hear? All right. Could go. You know what the sound of wind is, though, right? It's whatever the wind is blowing across that makes the sound, right? Like if it's you hear the whistling through the windows, it's because wind doesn't whistle. It blows, and it causes the whistling. You know, it makes a sound. And that's what brings people out of their homes or the market or wherever they're at, because this noise isn't just a silent noise or a quiet noise. God isn't entering into the disciples' presence, in a sense, and into their hearts, in the sense that they're being filled with the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the words Jesus spoke to them before his crucifixion about his really ascension and what would take place after it. And the reason Jesus had to go was so that the Helper could come, and that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would be a witness for the whole world. Well, that's what's happening here. The Holy Spirit is coming among these disciples of Jesus that are gathered in this room. And it had to be a large room because there were over like 120, I believe. And they're all gathered in this place. Well, the wind is so loud. It's so strong, this wind. It must have been kind of directional too. Almost perhaps like a tornado. You know, they're loud. Tornadoes are loud. Now, I've not been around a tornado. I haven't personally heard a tornado coming, but they say it sounds like a train. And I'll take the word of those who have experienced that. I don't wish to experience that, but maybe one day I will. Hopefully not. So. But nevertheless, whatever that sound was, it was enough to bring the people out in the streets. And what takes place, we're told, is that the Holy Spirit descends upon these disciples as or like a flaming tongue. And so the story picks up. Because apparently they go outside, or maybe they were in a courtyard within the house. But people come to this place. They come there, and the disciples begin testifying or being witnesses now to those who are in Jerusalem. And they tell all these people who are gathered and perplexed because they hear in their own native language the disciples speaking to them. And then we get a catalog of all these places throughout the world that these followers of God have gathered together, and perhaps some too that didn't know God, but they were gathered there. It's Pentecost. It's an important festival. Everyone is required to gather there. At least all the men are required. It's an important festival. This is the time of the first fruits. This is the time of the gathering of the crops and going before the Lord and declaring that this is His, a gift back to God for what He has given them so that they do not have to suffer from perhaps famine or something else. They are grateful for what is taking place, so they are there from all over the world, we might say. Maybe, maybe like pilgrimage. You know, I'm thinking about this. Yeah, but, you know, that's a long way to travel for, you know, this festival, isn't it? A long way for these people to come from Rome and Phrygia and Asia, Egypt, and all these other places. Well, some places may be a little bit closer, but you know how it is. But if you're on a pilgrimage, you're going to come from all over the place because this is something important to you. This is something special. So we find in Jerusalem all these people. Maybe some of them have transplanted to this place. Some of them are even Gentiles or proselytes converted to the faith, but not Jewish according to ethnicity, but nevertheless they are believers of God because they are there. Now, I'm sure there are those in the crowd that don't believe necessarily, or perhaps they feel like they have been pushed out from the religious folks. We hear that there are a lot of the religious folk there, you know. And not in a bad way. I don't mean religious as in a hypocrite or something like that. I mean, they're religious. They attend the synagogue. They attend the temple practices of sacrifice. They go to these things because it is important for them, because there they are in contact with their God, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Jesus, our God, whom Jesus says, He has given me everything, so what I speak to you, you can count on is true, because it comes not only from me, but the Father as well. Now, that's just paraphrasing a bit, I know, but, that's kind of it. Jesus doesn't speak on his own. He testifies about the Father. And he is glorified by the Father after he dies by being raised to life again. And Jesus tells his disciples, after all this takes place, I'm going to go somewhere you cannot come. I'm going back to my Father. So you're going to be here, but I'm not leaving you alone, because this is to your benefit. This is for you as a gift. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter speaks up and declares that the events you all have witnessed isn't happening because we're drunk. It's too early to be getting drunk. No, this is what took place to fulfill what the prophet Joel spoke, that in the last days, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. How important is that promise being fulfilled on this day in which Peter is declaring this good news, when the Holy Spirit indeed has been poured out onto these disciples who were gathered together in this place, worshiping God, and this suddenly happens. How important is this? Well, we'll see that next week, but we know it. The church becomes a mega church. It goes from these few people gathered together in worship and thanksgiving, waiting for the Spirit to come, because Jesus promised it. They're waiting in Jerusalem, as Jesus had said. They're waiting in order that they would be equipped so they can go out and be witnesses. Jesus told them that was going to be what would happen. But this is a greater thing that has ever taken place in all of history. All of history. All of the history of the Hebrew people, all the history throughout their journey from captivity in Egypt to Jerusalem. This is the most important thing, because we know the Holy Spirit was present with them on that journey, but not in this way. Now, the Holy Spirit did come upon 72 of the leaders, the elders, with, you know, when Moses and they went up on the mountain, that they had this wonderful gift given to them, and they were able to sit together and eat with God. But now, this new thing that has taken place under the new covenant, is for all people. not just a few people, but for all people, the Holy Spirit is going to come. I kind of look at this and I thinking about it, it's kind of like the disciples are equipped now. They are filled, and these others that are with them, they are equipped. They are prepared now to be witnesses, and man, do they do it. They begin telling people all around them about what has just been taking place. And the people are perplexed, as I said, because they hear them in their own native language. They're being equipped to go into all the world and not just one place. They aren't going to be limited by borders or being able to speak to people in their own native language, because God is equipping these people to do so, so that the church quickly begins to spread and to push out beyond that. Jesus said, it's going to start in Jerusalem, and then you're going on out into all of Judea, and then to Samaria, and to the rest of the world. We have kind of a seeing, I suppose, of the whole world hearing this message by hearing all of the different people that are present. It's like God pours His Spirit out on this group of people who in turn go out and pour that message that creates faith in the hearts of men and women and children. They proclaim that word. They proclaim it boldly. You'll hear next week Peter's message. It'll be a strong message. It is law and it is gospel. Thankfully, the gospel is there, because Peter starts it out not in a very good way. He says, you guys remember Jesus, right? You crucified Him. See, that's law. But he goes beyond that and he declares the gospel, and the Holy Spirit works in that word. And it worked in that word that day. I know I say next week because that's the gospel, but all the things that take place took place on Pentecost. We only get this opening message about what takes place because it's important for the church, because we are given the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that came in a loud sound, a rushing wind, an aggressive wind, a powerful wind, and tongues of fire danced over their heads, and they began speaking the words that God gave them to speak. Because it's in the declaration, the speaking of the word, that the church grows. And that's what they began doing in Jerusalem, speaking the grace of God to all those around them. Many were converted at that day, became followers of Jesus. I shouldn't really say converted. All these people were waiting for that day. If they were followers of God already, they were in expectation of the coming of the Messiah. And some of them are wondering, well, was Jesus really the Messiah? Because, you know, He died, but then He rose again, and He showed Himself to many people. Not everybody saw Jesus. But those who did testify to those in this crowd about Jesus and about His resurrection and His ascension. Jesus said, you will tell them all that I have said, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of those things. Your minds will be open to the prophets and what they spoke about me because of the Holy Spirit that will work in you. They're out there like they've just been filled up, like one great big well of water, and they're out pouring that water on all these people who are in turn filled up like a big well. We receive that Spirit. We receive that word that we are to proclaim. We receive that good news. The church began, in a sense, on that day. Not the church hadn't existed, because the church is nothing more than God's people. But under the new covenant, it begins. Those who were in expectation of the Messiah, on this day, many of them will see that it was indeed Jesus and believe. They will repent and they will be baptized, just as you and I also were baptized. We too repented. That is, we confessed our sins before God and we received that forgiveness that He promises. We too have received the same word that was proclaimed 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem by Peter. We have that good news in us. We have the Spirit and we have been filled up so that we can go out. Don't have to go far to find someone who's thirsty for the righteousness of God, thirsty to know forgiveness because they have been beaten down and feel that there is no forgiveness in this world. And yes, there is. It comes from God. We get to bring that to those people who are dying of thirst. We get to speak the good news which fills them up. It is the holy bread of God. Jesus said, if you eat this bread, you drink this blood, you will not be hungry or thirst anymore. He satisfies all of us. He gives us that which has equipped the church to grow because it is the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and join in the offertory as the offering is brought forth. We pray for the whole people, the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Glorify his name among us in every word and deed. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, by your Spirit you have established your holy church on the proclamation of Christ our Savior. Sustain the apostolic preaching to the ends of the earth, that in every tongue the mighty works of God in Christ may be heard. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of comfort, give hope to your people in the midst of this world of death and despair. Put your Spirit within us to believe, to live, and to serve according to your promises and commands. Lead our homes to confess our confidence in your power to raise the dead, now and at the last day. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, your Son acknowledged Satan as ruler of this world and its ways, yet one whose reign is judged and whose time is short. Beat back his lies and deadly work, that the order of your creation may be seen. Give us good government and leaders who are both honest and faithful. Even so, let us look eagerly for your Son's return, and let that be quickly. Lord, in your mercy. We call on your name, O Lord, praying in your Spirit to help and save all, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Joni Murdoch, and family. Renew the face of the earth. Look with favor on your creatures and fill the hearts of your faithful, kindling in them the fire of your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people that convicted of their sin, they may also be convinced that the righteousness of Christ is theirs, and in such repentance and faith receive the things of Christ declared in this supper, his holy body and precious blood for the forgiveness of sins. Unite us by your spirit of truth and faith and confession, and comfort us with the knowledge that this world's prince is judged. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit, who would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Enlighten our hearts so that we confess our sins, obtain everlasting righteousness through faith in Christ, and through every trial and temptation, abide in the consolation that Christ is Lord over the devil, death, and all things, and that he will graciously deliver us from all affliction to make us partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, ever praising you and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
wine for you, true body of Christ given to you. Take and drink the true body of Christ shed for you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace and joy. Please rise. Lord, now let us, thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Any announcements? Yes, go ahead, please.
It's me and Ronnie's anniversary this week. Also, the Woolies are having hosting a Memorial Day weekend party next weekend. All invited. There's information in the bulletin for their phone number and their address if you don't know how to get there, if you've never been there.
What time?
And also we have a different bulletin.
$10 a plate, and just wanted to let y'all know, if you, I'm going to leave a phone number in there, I've got it in the car. If you call before June 1st and pre-order, then you're sure you're going to get a plate. If not, it's first come, first serve. Thank you.
Anything else? Let's join in singing the last hymn, please rise.